For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of, him they will ask the more. That's Luke 13:43. So today we're going to be looking at the topic of spiritual gifts. And the Lord, he wants to encourage us today in that, in using our gifts. You know, just as in Peter's day, we're to use the gifts that God has given us to serve one another and to be able to give Jesus Christ the glory as a result of that giving. So let's, I'm going to read from our text, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. Well, what have I got here? Okay. The gift. Got to have a visual. Okay. So when you have a gift, right, you know, it helps to know what it is, right? And you know what? This is something that is really useful and that would really bless somebody, okay? What this is a, I don't know what you call it, a video phone, okay? You hook it up to your computer and you use it with somebody else who has a video phone and you can talk. So in my case, my parents are deaf, and so they get all the latest gadgets and stuff very often for free, you know, that are given to them. And so this is a really useful gift because if I use it, I can bless somebody, which would be in case my mother, which I need to do more often. Anyways, but I need to know how to use it, what it is, how to use it, and then I need to use it. Right? If it's going to be of any value. Okay. So, you know, very often, sometimes we receive a gift or a present. You open the box just like we did, and we look at it, and we're like, what is this? This looks very technical. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to use it, and I certainly would not have picked it out for myself. And you know, sometimes you put that thing aside and you just put it in a closet and you just ignore it. Well, if you did that, how would the person who gave it to you feel about that? How would that make them feel? Probably they would feel badly, right? So very often, God has given all of us gifts. He's given all of us spiritual gifts, okay? And very often, he would give us gifts that we would never choose for ourselves. And he does that because he wants to get the glory for the gift. Okay, and I'll talk more about that, you know, in a little bit. But, you know, God, he is a wise giver of gifts, and he has a gift for you. 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So the spiritual gifts that God has given to you and that you may continue to discover, they're all different from each other. And some of us have the same gifts, but no two people have the exact same compilation of gifts. We all are unique. You know, he's made us, our DNA is unique. And the gifts, the combinations of gifts that he's given us all is unique. And you know, he knows what he's doing when he gives you that gift, okay? You may think, I don't know why I have this particular gift, but he does. And you don't need to fear the spiritual gifts and the gifts that you have, and you certainly should not be neglecting your gift. And but only you should use that gift to honor God. So, you know, when we use the gifts, it's really exciting. We're going to have a night of praise, and, well, we've changed the name of it, but praise of worship and prayer tomorrow, and the gifts will be used. The gifts were used today. Susie had a word from the Lord. You know, So we have, we're using the gifts, and it's exciting when we use those gifts, right? And that's why Peter here encourages the believers to minister their gifts to one another. You know, when we're in the midst of suffering, we receive hope from the moving of the Holy Spirit. And when we're down or discouraged, it's the Spirit who lifts us up. And he uses these special gifts to do that for us. And you know, you can't experience that in any other way. There's no drug, no food, no source of entertainment. There's no physical pleasure that matches up to when the Spirit moves. Agree? Yeah, okay. You know, and when I started this study, I thought I was going to kind of review the baptism of the move of the Holy Spirit. But as I moved forward, I'm not going to go there, okay? But if you want to know more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I have handouts. We can talk afterwards, and you know, if so that you can further understand it. But today we're going to be looking at the purpose of our spiritual gifts and the importance of our stewardship in using the gifts. And we're going to look at giving and a little bit of leadership in relation to our gifts. So I just really want you to see that encouragement that the Lord has for us, and that's to be a good steward of the gifts that God has given us. Okay. So let's look at the purpose of the gifts. If you don't understand why we have the gifts, then you're not going to be motivated to put them into practice when the Lord calls on you to do that. And you know, that's not to say that just his own urging or calling you is not a sufficient enough reason, right, to be obedient. We should just be obedient when God asks us. But it's good for us to know the purpose of them. So I'm going to go over the following purposes, and that is to glorify God and his church, to build up the body of Christ, to unify the body, and for the maturity and growth of the body. And then most importantly, it's to build his church. So 1 Corinthians 12:7 states, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So we have been given the spiritual gifts. It's for the profit of all. All of us profit when we share these gifts with one another. And they're for the purpose of helping each other. So no matter who you are in this room, God calls you to serve each other by his Spirit. And if you keep that gift to yourself, it's not going to profit anyone. And it's not even going to profit yourself. So I'm just going to give a little quick review of the gifts. God gives gifts that operate on a continual basis to accomplish the work that he wants done. And I'm not going to explain each one, but I'm just going to remind you of it. And then if you believe this gift is yours, just write it down for yourself. Just, you know, it's a little note for yourself, keeping in mind what your gifts are. So ministry gifts are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, leadership. The revelation gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the discernment of spirits, visions, and dreams. The gifts of power are faith, healing, miracles, exorcism. The verbal gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretations of tongues, teaching, exhortation. The gifts of service, helps, administration, giving, showing of mercy, intercessory prayer, and then the gifts of arts, which include painting, sculpture, writing, and of course, worship. So, two things I want to say before I move on. If you have a lot of gifts, then I would just say, you know, the first of thee shall be the last, and the least is the first. So, good for you if you have lots of gifts, but you know, you want to be humble. You don't want to be proud, right? Because they're gifts from God. They're not anything that you have earned or received because, you know, we're so special, you know. God thinks we're special, but it's not our merit, right? So, and if you think that you just have a few gifts and that your ministry is just really small, then you know that Christmas song, Little Drummer Boy, And he says, you know, he's wondering what's the gift that I can bring to the newborn king, because he thinks that he has nothing. And then he brings his drum, and then the lyric says that the baby king smiles at him. Okay, I know it's corny, but, you know, it's just, the point is that even if you just have one gift, you know, bring it before the Lord. Ask him to show you how to use that gift for him. And I'm sure you have more than one gift, okay? So, but, you know, there are probably people out there that God has created to be a help to just minister to one other person. I mean, there are people out there, their whole lives are devoted to just caring for one other person. So, you know, in God's eyes, that person is no smaller than someone like Billy Graham, who's used, you know, who God has used to touch millions. They are the same in God's eyes. So let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 4, verse 12. And we're going to look at a few reasons that the gifts have been given to us. Says here, I'm going to read 12 through 16. So he's referring to the gifts here. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So, the first reason is to glorify God and his church. We see right here in our text that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So, we represent Jesus as we are the church bride. We are Christ's bride. Excuse me. Just like last week when Diane was mentioning that wives are the glory of their husbands. Well, the church is to be the glory of Jesus. We help to accomplish what he set forth. Okay, he could do it all without us, right? Because he's powerful enough, but he chooses to use us. And but we don't make Jesus look better, right? Because he doesn't need our help to look any better. But we don't want to make him look bad either, okay? So we want to keep that in mind. He's given us spiritual gifts, secondly, to build up the body of Christ. And if back in our text in 4:12, he says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So why does the body need to be built up? Well, it's because we are under constant attack. We are under fire by the enemy, by the world. We're despised by the world, and as we've been discussing, it's only going to get worse. The persecution is going to get worse. And, you know, we really need each other as Christian sisters, right? And it's not just that we need each other as friends to hang out with, right? Because, you know, we need each other to help us stay on track with the Lord and to build each other up, so that we can go out and reach those around us with the gospel, okay? So God hasn't just not here just to have a party all the time, right? Socializing and friendship, it's good. And but is it love? You know, it's love when we have that fellowship. But we need to be reaching out with our gifts, okay? And we need to be asking ourselves, are we really building each other up spiritually? You know, there's a dying world out there, and we need to be encouraging one another to be praying for each other's unsaved families and neighbors and co-workers. You know, I have unsafe family members, and so do many of you. And I need to be encouraged, okay, to keep praying for them and to keep loving them and to keep reaching out to the family members. It's very easy for us to get in a cocoon and just spread all our love with each other, you know? That's easy because we are all willing to take each other's love, right? But we've got to reach out and reach the dying world. And so that love from each other should spur us on, and that within mind, keeping in mind that we need to be encouraging each other to reach out, okay? So third is the gifts unify the body. Ephesians 4:13 goes on to say, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So verse 13 is further pointing out the purpose of equipping each other. We are to help perfect or mature each other, right? To look more like Christ. And, you know, those are some big shoes to fill, right? So, but the point is that we are to share, as we share gifts with one another, then that builds unity with each other. And Peter probably was encouraging these believers to minister to each other because they needed that unity. They needed to cling together so that God could use their gifts and help each other make it through that persecution and suffering. And, you know, just as Jane had pointed out, when we look at the context of 1 Peter, you know, he's talking about us loving each other, submitting to one another, with the purpose in mind that they be united together, right? And that so that they can strengthen each other, so that they can stand, right, and say, no, this is what we believe. And they're all, you know, if you're all huddled together, you know, there's that strength in numbers. And so then we're all huddled together. Well, we should be serving each other, right, to really give us even more unity. And that's what's going to help us get through those trials when the body unifies together. And so we need more of his gifting as more and more of us go through trials. And, you know, I was thinking about a couple weeks ago when Gail was in the second service, Gail was praying, you know, she was praying out, and she, you know, was just praying about how she just sensed that there were people who were suffering and going through trials. And she was standing, and she said, I would ask you to stand. And I was in the back, you know, greeting that day. And I looked up, and like 3/4 of the church was standing. You know, she asked them to stand if they would stand for their own trials, trials for people in their family, you know. And, you know, it's going on, you know. We have stuff going on. A lot of trials are going on. And, you know, a lot of, you know, we're suffering financially. Our country's suffering, right? And, I mean, I know of at least three people who are going through foreclosures right now. You know, there are people in our own church that are losing their homes, okay? And it's getting worse. It's getting busier. I mean, I could just tell you just from my own business, you know, because we're in that housing industry, and it's getting busier. There are more and more foreclosures going on. So, you know, this is real, and it's probably just the tip of the iceberg. And so we need to be prepared to be reaching out to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The fourth reason he gives us the gifts is the maturity and growth of the body. And we're still in Ephesians here. 14 through 16. So he says here, we were not to be tossed about to and fro by, like, confused children. So we need to, but we're to speak the truth in love to each other. So he's referring here to, we have the needs of spiritual gifts of teaching and discernment in order for us to grow and mature. And, you know, I I know I say it probably every Bible study, but I'm so thankful that we have Pastor Steve, who's such a wonderful teacher. And, you know, Steve's heart for us is for us all to become and grow more and more like Christ. And in verse 16, let's see here. In 15, Paul refers to Christ as the head. And in verse 16, he refers to the whole body, which is who we are. And he says that the body is knit together according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So your gift is needed for this body to grow and mature. And, you know, it's not just Susie who's needed. It's not just Dawn who's needed to, you know, oversee the help with the kids. It's all of us. We all have a part to play. And God has given us gifts so that we can help meet the needs of each other, right? And for the growth and maturity of this body. You know, the bulletin alone, you know, I'm sorry, but that bulletin really, something should not sit in there for more than a week. A body our size, you know, yeah, I don't believe that in our numbers that something should be asked for week after week after week, okay? I mean, 2 weeks, maybe three, you know, for everybody have a chance to see it, but it's like, it makes me sad. It makes me sad. Lastly, the gifts are used most importantly to build this church. You know, these gifts are wonderful, right, for spreading love and lifting each other up, but we don't want to lose sight of the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So let's go back to the words of Jesus to understand another purpose of the Spirit, and really the main purpose. John 15:8 says, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, and it points non-believers to Jesus. John 15:26 states that when the Helper comes, He will testify to Jesus. And so how does he do this? Well, he uses his gifts of the Spirit to reach the lost. He uses the gifts of evangelism, teaching, exhortation, helps. He uses worship, hospitality, giving, just to name a few of his gifts. You know, we need his gifts to reach out to this dying world. We have no strength and no power to do it on our own. But we need to have balance. Serve each other, yes, but we don't want to forget to reach out beyond these walls. Another reminder of Jesus' words in Acts 1:8, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Acts 1:8. So, you know, he's given us the power so that we can be a witness to him. We can be an example to the world of him. And your gift is part of that, okay? Because you didn't have your gift before you knew him, right? It's come upon you afterwards. So people who knew you before are like, I never thought that she would teach, go in front of people and stand and teach or whatever, you know? Or, wow, you know, they are really involved with the children, and they never liked to babysit when they were young, you know. So this is part how God uses those gifts to witness to others too. So we need to determine what your gift is. And, you know, I would encourage all of you that if you haven't already done so, to take a spiritual inventory on determining your spiritual gifts, and it's like a little test, and then at the end of the test it tells you, you know what each of those sections fall into, so you can understand what your gift is more. And you know, I think it's important that you take something like this, because sometimes some of the questions are a lot of these are written in the eye, but I've seen them before where when you're taking this, consider what people have said to you. Some people may say things to you like, gosh, when you sing, I am so encouraged. So, you know, as you're taking that test, remember the opinions of others, because we're not good at always just looking at ourselves. We need to feedback from others. But in determining your gifts, you also need to tease out what are your natural born talents versus a gift that the Lord has given you. And let me just give you an example from my own life. I have a natural talent of creativity. Okay, I'm not an artist. I just really enjoy creative outlets as a hobby. And you know, I don't really like to sew, but I like the results, you know, for my home or when I give a gift or something. So I pretty much taught myself how to sew, but I'm really not that good at it. But when I was involved in a ministry several years ago called Brighten a Corner, and it was kind of like, it's still going on, this ministry. It's a great ministry. It's kind of like Extreme Home Makeover meets Make-A-Wish Foundation, only on a really small scale. So we, you know, take on these kind of makeover projects and a lot of different types of projects and, you know, various scale, but they're usually very creatively involved. And because I was a sewer, my girlfriend who headed it up felt that I should oversee the sewing projects. And let me tell you, it became the most stressful thing to me. Okay, I would worry and stress about these sewing projects. And I wasn't even always the one responsible for getting all the sewing done. And, you know, so my creativity, it's a talent, and I could use it for God's ministry, but very often I'm striving when I try and use that, okay, when I try to put it to work for God. And then I would compare that to me just standing here today doing a Bible study. You know, when I first became a Christian, I never thought I would teach a Bible study. I would sit through a Bible study and I wouldn't even have an opinion about what was taught. I mean, so, you know, and I don't even think that teaching is really the main gift, but it's more exhortation. And that's what gets me excited, if I have a message that has an exhortation to it, okay? So, you know, I don't get stressed out, okay? I might be a little nervous, and sure, I'm going to battle the enemy, but I just can't cling to the fact that God gave me the gift, and he shows up, okay, when he gives me an opportunity to use the gift. That's way different than me being all stressed out about trying to get that sewing project done, okay? So keep that in mind. This is what Peter tells us in verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. So if I kept on sewing things that looked fantastic, well, then guess who gets the glory very often? Okay? It would be me, you know? Because at least I may have taken that, you know, easily taken that glory, you know, for myself. But if I use the gifts that God has given me, then I never feel like I want to take the credit, because I know I don't deserve it. God does. So, you know, if God calls me to use my creativity, great. But then I know I need to be cautious, okay, in really determining, is this God's will for me to take on this project, you know? You know what I mean? And check my heart all the while. So I have a little list here of what the differences are between human talents and spiritual gifts. And I'm just going to read it to you really quick. So a talent would be inherited from our forefather. So you'd be born with it. And a gift is given by the Holy Spirit. A talent is present from natural birth. A gift is present from your new birth as a Christian. And it's also given to you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? A talent is God-given to all members of the human race. A gift is God-given to members of Christ's body. That would be, you know, you only see gifts operate in the body, like prophecy, tongues, right? Words of knowledge. You don't see that out in the world, okay? A talent is for human activities. Gifts are for ministry of the body. Talents can be operated independent of the Holy Spirit. Gifts are dependent on the Holy Spirit. A talent ministers primarily on a natural level, and a gift ministers on a spiritual level. A talent effects are usually temporal or finite. Gifts, the effects are eternal or infinite. And a talent glories the self, whereas a gift glorifies God. So once you know what your gifts are, you're now responsible to the Lord to be a good steward and to use your gift. As you know, in 1 Peter, as we were looking at today, verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So let's look a little bit at stewardship. Our trusty dictionary defines a steward as a person who manages another's property or financial affairs, one who administers anything as the agent of another or others. So 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So I need to ask myself, am I faithful with the mysteries of God? Okay? Am I faithful in obeying them? Am I faithful in sharing them? Applying them to my life? Have I been faithful in using the gifts that the Lord has given me? So let's look at Matthew 25, verse 14, and we're going to look at the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you would be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the Lord makes it pretty clear over and over what he expects from us. The concept that when he gives you something, you're to be a good steward of it and to use it and to manage it well. And then it will multiply. But what you do not use is going to be taken away from you. And, you know, this is repeated over and over throughout the Word. You know, if you don't want it or you don't use it wisely, it's that talent or gift is going to go to somebody who does. And being diligent in using your talents and blessing to serve others brings about more gifts, more talent. So you just need to ask yourself, do you want spiritual abundance or spiritual poverty in your life? If you want abundance, then ask God to show you where he wants you to put your gifts to use. He will show you, okay? He's faithful in doing that. Teach these concepts to your children. This is how we help to mold productive people in our children, through the wisdom of God's word, teaching them how to be good stewards. Proverbs 19:16 says, "He who obeys instructions guards his life, but he who is contemptuous or careless of his ways will die." So let's not be careless with what God has given us, whether it be spiritual gifts, money, or our love, the love that God has given us for others. Let's use these things to bring glory to God. I want to talk a little bit about giving. I want to encourage all of you to ask for the gift of giving. You know, it's God's good pleasure to give us what we ask for. Luke 7:7-11 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened." And, if I can't imagine that it's not God's will to give us that gift of giving, because giving is according to his will, right? And when we ask for the gift of giving, it's not just for financial purposes. It's asking God to supernaturally supply us with the ability and the desire to give of ourselves in service to others, to give of our time, our gifts, our talents, and to give of our finances too. You know, our section here is just an exhortation to give to one another. And he's telling it to do it with the ability which God supplies. So, you know, you can't outgive God, because he is always going to supply you. Just like, you know, you always hear that about finances. And that doesn't just apply to our finances. It applies to our gifts too. So God will always give us what we need to get the job done. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So what does Paul say here? Does he say the word "some of your needs"? No, he says all of your needs. And the word here is your needs, okay, not your wants. So God knows what we need in order to do the things he has called us to do and that he's gifted us to do, okay? Not always what we want to do, okay, but what he wants for us to do. And we don't really have any excuses when God calls on us to do something for us, because he's the one who is a supplier for us. You know, it makes me think of a big warehouse. Can you imagine what his warehouse looks like? It's probably humongous, and it never runs out of stuff, right? I can imagine aisles upon aisles, right? Stockpiled power on aisle 5, mercy on aisle 12, faith on aisle 24, grace, love, wisdom. He'll give us strength, miracles, prophecy, words of knowledge, helps, discernment, healing, intercession. You know, it can go on and on and on, all those aisles. And, you know, if he's given you that gift, he's going to succeed in producing in you what you need, okay, to give to others. When you have honored God with the little that you have and given what small amount you have, then he will give you more, right? Well, this may come in the form of leadership. And, you know, leadership, everybody is in some form of leadership, really. I mean, if you're a parent, you're a leader of your child. Even if you are a believer who's one day older than a younger believer, you are in a leadership position, okay? So, and then sometimes other leadership you know, isn't always appointed to you. Sometimes leaders are appointed, but sometimes it can be earned, you know, your leader because of your age or by, you know, having the gift of leadership. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a leader. If you have a prayer group, you're a leader. So leadership is, you know, we live with leadership, okay? People look to us and what we do. And, you know, some people have a very, very strong gift of leadership, and they are given a clear direction or a path of ministry that God wants them to create or follow. And other leaders have the ability to encourage or influence and support a main leader, like a vice president, right? They're still a leader, but they're just not like, you know, the top leader, right? So it comes in a lot of forms. And leadership requires both giving and stewardship. And the thing about leadership is that it puts you in a spotlight, and it requires you to take responsibility for your actions. So I would just say that don't be afraid when God moves you forward into an area of leadership. Leadership requires discernment, direction, discipline, and delegation. So when God directs you, remember that, you know, he's the ultimate leader over you, and that all decisions that you make as a leader need to pass before his throne first. And so I just wanted to end the study just making a note that, you know, we're just a vessel that God uses for his gifts. We're not to take any credit for the gift, but we're merely the instrument that God uses to display his power. Jesus is to get the recognition for the gifts that he's given us, and he is to get the glory and the praise for whatever is accomplished through that gift. And, you know, I made this point before, but before we came to Christ, we did not possess that gifting, and we didn't really have that ability to minister to anyone. And anything you did for one another, you could take the credit for before you knew the Lord. And that probably explains why so many men are really inclined to think that they are just good enough without God. But once you become Christ, the good that proceeds from you really comes from Christ alone. So we don't take the credit for the good deed. And, you know, we need to be cautious with our gifts, because we're not, you know, you're not the only one who might have that gift, and you should never take your ministry and put it on a pedestal above anybody else's. And so be cautious not to make an idol of your gift. You know, your gifting or your ministry is not to take priority over the time that you spend with the Lord in his word and in prayer, or it shouldn't take first place over your ministry, your first place of ministry, if you have a family, and that's to your husband and your children. You know, as women, our families are a gift that God has given us to take care of, and we are to put that first. And, you know, no ministry that we take place in is going to bring full glory to God if our households are falling apart, okay? So I just encourage you to be a giver and be a sharer and continue on in using your gifts. Even in hard times, when you're suffering personally or when you're in the midst of persecution. And this is how you show the world around you that no matter what happens, right, and no matter how the world persecutes us or thinks we're crazy, we are still going to reach out to them. And we're going to share God's love and his plan of salvation with them. And that's what agape love does, right? It shows love and mercy to those who have wronged you or think badly of you. And that's what Christ did for us. So when you exercise your gifts to further Christ's kingdom, that is ultimately brings glory and honor to Jesus. And that's what we all want to do. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we just want to thank you, God. We want to have a thankful heart, God, that you have given us gifts, God, that you see you look at us and you think we're worthy, God, and we know we're not worthy of anything in ourselves, but we're worthy because we have Jesus Christ in us, God. And so, Lord, I just thank you, God, that you have given us these gifts to use with one another. Lord, I just pray that your gifts would flow out, God. You would pour your gifts out on us, God, and that we would be open to receive them, and then we would be willing to use them, God. Lord, we just pray that you would just use your gifts abundantly, God, to just reach others, God, to reach out in love, God. Empower us today, God. And Lord, if there's anyone here, God, who just doesn't understand about the gifts or wants to receive from you, God, I just pray that you would give to them, God. Supernaturally, you would pour your gifts out upon them, Father, and that they would be able to use them for your glory, God. Father, we just love you and we praise you today. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Any questions?